Adam, welcome back to the show, my man. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. It has been quite the offseason in Nashville. Of course, the Shea Weber trade for PK Subban, and now you've got the prospect camp getting going this weekend for the Predators. So some could say unofficially the start of the NHL season, with at least coaches on the ice with some prospects and things like that. But of course, Subban has been the talk of the town without a doubt. Who do you see him playing with on opening night in Nashville?
That's a good question, and I'm sure that the Predators' brain trust is still trying to figure that out. Of course, you can throw him into the position that Shea Weber was in and pair him with Roman Josi, which would be a spectacular pair to watch just based on how the two of them like to operate on the ice. I believe over the past three seasons combined, they're the third and fourth highest scoring defenseman in the NHL, Subban third and Josi fourth. You'd have over 300 points combined over the last 3 years between the two of them on the ice. But another possibility, and one I think that they could certainly experiment with during the preseason, is playing him with Mattias Ekholm. With Shea Weber no longer in the mix, the Predators don't necessarily have a traditional stay-at-home defenseman. Mattias Ekholm certainly can carry the puck and is a great skater. He's probably the closest thing to a two-way defenseman that they have now. So if you're looking for that balance between having a puck mover and a strong skater like PK Subban with someone who can play and sit back a little bit more, like Mattias Ekholm, you could certainly do that. But I think they're going to try for the home run first, personally. I think they're going to try to play with Roman Josi and see how that goes.
And having seen Shea Weber and having seen a lot of Subban over the last few years, is it a natural fit to play with Josi? Is that the one that makes the most sense for you?
I think, especially at the point where last year, I think Shea Weber was certainly, I wouldn't say that Shea Weber was content, but it certainly seemed like Roman Josi was doing the heavy lifting and carrying the mail, as we like to hear. I think Shea Weber, certainly as we know, can move the puck as well, but preferred to stay back and stay back a little bit more while Roman Josi did the heavy lifting. I think with the thing with playing Roman Josi with Subban is they both like to carry the mail. Who stays back? So if one of them is rushing the puck up the ice because they're both so good at, that could get them in trouble, certainly. So that's why I think Subban might start with someone like Ekholm, who can play back a little bit more. So I think PK Subban and Shea Weber, I think the styles of games that they like to play, they're both offensive defensemen, but they go about it differently. I think what Montreal is trying to do up there with getting grittier, getting guys like Andrew Shaw as well, I think Shea Weber certainly fits into that mold. And I think for what the Predators want to do and play a speed game, I think PK is perfect for that. So I actually think both teams got better for what they were looking for on the back end with this trade.
Adam Vingan from the Tennessean joins us. Adam, with that trade, a lot of people look at Nashville, and they had Shea Weber before, but they also have Ryan Johansson now to start the season with Forsberg and Neal and Smith. Like Nashville comes in and, maybe with more expectations than they've ever had.
I will say this, Jason. I think this Predators team, this 2016-17 Predators team, will have more eyes on it than any team in Nashville franchise history. I think they're going to be looked at from outside of Nashville more so than they ever have, because the Predators play in a market that isn't traditional for hockey, though they've done a great job of making it a great hockey market, and they certainly draw attention when it comes to them, like when they hosted the All-Star game last year, and they won a triple overtime game in the playoffs last year. But otherwise, they sort of fly under the radar, so to speak. That's not going to happen this year. Of course, PK Subban brings his own fan base, and a lot of people in Montreal are going to be watching to see how he does, because he still has a lot of fans there, as well as all across the hockey-watching world. But then, exactly as you mentioned, you've got Philip Forsberg, who signed a six-year contract extension this summer, who had 60-plus points in each of the past 2 years. You have Ryan Johansson, who was the blockbuster trade that got overshadowed by Nashville in January because of the trade they made in June, who had 34 points last year for the Predators and is in a contract year. You have James Neal, who along with Forsberg are the first pair of 30-goal scorers the Predators have had in a decade. You've got a great defenseman in Roman Josi, who is becoming one of the best defensemen in the NHL. I don't think you can call him underrated anymore. I mean, there's a lot of great pieces in Nashville. I think they're going to contend for a Central Division title. I think there's going to be a lot of intrigue around them. I'm certainly interested to see how it goes. And I think for the first time in franchise history, I think there's going to be people from outside of Nashville who really want to know what this team is going to do.
How important to that success is Craig Smith turning around his declining numbers and having a really upswing of a season?
Well, I think Craig has been fairly consistent. I think he's had three seasons now with at least 20 goals. And I mean, he's a guy you always need those role players, so to speak, to step up. And he's a guy, like I said, that you can usually count on for 20 goals. The guy that I'm looking at is Colin Wilson, who has 18 points in his last 20 playoff games, but only had 24 points, if I recall correctly, in almost 70 regular season games last year. I mean, we call him around these parts playoff Colin Wilson, because you know when April and May roll around, he's going to show up. But October through April, is he going to show up then? I mean, last year he was non-existent. He even got healthy scratched in the game near the end of the regular season in March because they hadn't been getting what they needed out of him. But we saw in the playoffs that he can do it. It's just a matter of having that playoff mentality all season long. And he said before the season ended last year, before the Predators parted ways for the summer, that he was going to spend his time trying to formulate that mindset so that he can carry it all season long, because we've seen him score 20 goals. I think he is a guy. He's a guy who has the potential to be a 50 to 60 point scorer in the NHL. They need him. They need that help from their top six caliber forwards, and there's going to be a lot of pressure on him to do that.
Adam Vingan from the Tennessean joins. Adam, I think it was last week or the week before they announced that Mike Fisher is going to be the captain of the Predators. He's 1 year away from unrestricted free agency. There's no way they're going to protect him in the upcoming expansion draft. So what do you, it looks like it's kind of a 1 year deal for him as the captain. What do you make of it as a guy who's likely going to be in a little bit of a reduced role?
Well, what's interesting is you mentioned the 1 year captain. I mean, I think that's what a lot of people, including myself, thought when Shea Weber was traded and you started talking about who the captain should be. Could the Predators give the captaincy to a guy who's 36 years old with 1 year left on this contract? Well, David Poile completely squashed that last week. He even said it before being asked. I know he has 1 year left on his current contract, but I don't view this as a one-year captaincy. He can play here as long as he wants. So they're not thinking of it like that. But as you mentioned, he will be a free agent next summer, probably won't be protected in the expansion draft. And I think it was the right choice because he deserved it, quite frankly. I mean, he's been in this league long enough. He's never been a captain. He's actually only had two captains in his career, Daniel Alfredson and Shea Weber. And he's learned a lot from them, and the players certainly respect him. But I also think it gives a lot of the younger guys who were on their team a chance to further grow and develop. I mean, Roman Josi, who was my favorite to be the captain, essentially as soon as the trade happened, I thought Roman Josi was the next captain of the Nashville Predators. You've got Philip Forsberg, who's young, who can grow. You've got Ryan Johansson. You've got P.K. Subban. You've got James Neal. You have guys that could play that role who may not quite be ready for it yet. Give it to Mike Fisher. Let him hold it for a year or two. Let him lead this young team into the next generation and hand it off to one of those guys. So I think it's the sensible choice. I certainly see why there are those who don't agree with it and think it's iffy to have a guy in that position be the captain, but I think it was the right choice for this time.
Adam Vingan from the Tennessean joins us as we preview the Nashville Predators, a playoff team last year, one that most people would have penciled in as a playoff team this season. Well, Fisher's in the last year of his deal, and I think he's going to re-sign. Mike Ribeiro really struggled last season. Adam, where do you see him fitting in on the, like, I see him really as their third line center at best at this point. Where do you see Ribeiro?
I think that's a good position to start. I see him in that role as well because, as you mentioned, he had 50 points last year, which was down from his first year in Nashville when he had over 60, if I can recall correctly. But still, for a 36-year-old veteran, 50 points is soft. The issue is, as we all know, especially at this point of his career, Mike Barbero is a pretty one-dimensional player. He's a great playmaker, but if he's not doing that, he's not really helping your team. And last year, especially at the end of the year, he was non-existent. He got scratched in two games during the second round against San Jose. And David Poile said at the end of the season that Mike needed to have the summer of his life to regain his position on the top two lines. And I certainly think there's value in having him on the team. I don't really see a future for him on the team after this season. He will probably have a chance to reclaim a top six spot. But I look at the lines at the end of last season. Now, Mike Fisher really gelled with Colin Wilson and James Neal in the playoffs, and Ryan Johansson played really well with Philip Forsberg and Craig Smith. So I could see those lines certainly playing out. But if you're looking for production from your bottom six, which the Predators have been, last year they wanted it, they didn't get it. You know, you can't really go wrong with having a guy like Mike Ribeiro in a reduced role who can perform and produce offense down there with maybe someone like a Cale Yarncroak with it, and Victor Arvidsson as well, I mean, which could certainly be a potent third line. So, and Mike Ribeiro is certainly on notice. I mean, his veteran status doesn't offer him any leeway anymore, especially with this coaching staff after what happened last year. They still have faith in him, but, of course, as you mentioned, he really needs to have a good training camp to even get back in that conversation.
In the ultra-tight Central Division, where do you see the Predators finishing this year?
I think they're good for second or third place. There are still a lot of questions about other teams in the division. Of course, you have Dallas, who has a spectacular offense, and getting Dan Hamhuis was a great move for their defense, but they lost a lot of defensemen, Alex Goligoski, Jason Demers, and their goaltending is still iffy. St. Louis lost a lot of gritty guys, David Backus, Troy Brower, but of course they've got younger guys like Vladimir Tarasenko, so they're going to go more for that skill than that grit. You can never count out the Chicago Blackhawks, though I think they're becoming too top-heavy. Of course, when you've got Taves and Kane and Keith, you're going to be competitive. But in terms of those lower-level guys, you know, you don't have an Andrew Ladd or Dustin Bufflin or Dave Bolin on your third line anymore. I know Artemi Panarin certainly helps there, too. So I think that I think the Predators will certainly challenge in a top three spot in the Central Division. I can see them finishing high at second. I'm not sure they're going to win. But I think they certainly will make a case for it at some point.
And any young players in that organization you think will crack the lineup this year and make an impact?
Well, the one young player that I'm looking at, not necessarily if he's going to crack the lineup, but I think it's time for him to make a noticeable step up, is Kevin Fiala, their first-round pick from 2014. In last year, he ended with 50 points in the AHL, which led the Milwaukee Admirals. But he had a really rough go of it at the beginning. He was soured by the fact that he didn't make the team. He was very disappointed and bitter about it and needed a major attitude adjustment in Milwaukee. And he eventually got over and grew up a little bit and played well down the stretch. Played five games for Nashville in January last year. But, I mean, he's only 20 years old. You don't need to rush him, but he's got so much talent. I think he's a guy who can certainly play in the NHL, maybe not full-time, but I could see him, you know, being a 15 to 20 game guy this year. I think it's time for him to make an impact. I mentioned Ribeiro needing a really good training camp. I think of all the players who have something to prove at Predators training camp, I mean, Kevin Fiala is on the top of my list.
Will be interesting to watch. Adam, we appreciate your time.
Yep, thanks. Anytime.